Good afternoon. My name is Ali Tabib Najjar. I am substitute hosting for Sean Smith. And today we have another delightful guest with us, Ms. Shanika Moore. She is the CEO of iRaise Girls and Boys International, as well as Moore Success Consulting. Hello, and how are you?
Hi, Ali. I'm great, and thank you so much for doing this today. It's great to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, and as you know, I will be learning along with our audience.
Yeah. Awesome. So I am originally from New York City, second generation Bronxite, but my grandparents actually migrated from the South. So my family has roots in the South, but I myself was originally from New York City. Came out here about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm really, thank you, and I love it in Metro Atlanta. It is my new home. But I get the privilege of having two homes. So I still have my home in New York City.
Wonderful.
In a sense that we do a lot of work out there, but also have my new home out here. Outside of that, I am a mother of an 11-year-old daughter, Genesis, who is my boss and tells me what to do. Drives me crazy, but I love her dearly. I'm also, as you introduced me, am a CEO of a nonprofit organization that is based in New York City. Mm-hmm. I Raise Girls and Boys International. By trade, I am a licensed master social worker and also a policy expert. So that's a little bit about me.
Wow, okay. So what do you spend most of your time doing?
Oh, working, planning, strategizing solutions to help our kids and families in this generation.
Tell me a little bit about iRaise Girls and Boys International.
Yeah, so we're actually in our 10th year now.
Oh, wow.
We started in 2013, and we're actually celebrating our 10th year anniversary in another 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So it's really exciting. iRaise was born out of a need to bring kids hope, primarily in New York City. Kids were lost. A lot of them were in communities that were, we like to call them disadvantaged, but they're systemically disadvantaged.
Yes.
And so a lot of these kids didn't have direction, didn't have guidance, and needed support and help. And so iRaise was formed out of that, was really to bring kids hope and tools.
Yeah.
We started as a mentoring program 10 years ago and evolved into a holistic organization that now provides tons of programs to kids at every age of development, from 4 to college years. So we stay with kids throughout their entire span, from preschool years up until elementary, middle school, high school, and then college.
Wow.
And then we provide tons of resources. We're mainly, our main mission is to provide access to children of color, kids that have been disadvantaged, kids that have gone through trauma and loss, to make sure that they have the tools needed that to succeed in life and to be able to really thrive. So that's a nutshell of who we are, but in terms of what we do and how we do it, our programs range from mental health services. Mm. That is our main service that we provide.
Wow.
And we work with school districts. We provide customized plans to schools that are dealing with kids that just don't know how to really connect to their schools. And these kids may either be truant. These kids may either not want to go to school anymore.
Yeah.
These kids may be having a hard time just being in a school building because they're not connecting with teachers. They're not connecting with peers. They may be socially isolated or withdrawn, depressed, or maybe in gangs, or a number of issues may be going on with these kids. We work with those. We specialize in taking those children and providing groundbreaking service to make sure that they can get out of whatever issue that they're dealing with, that they're stuck in, to be able to thrive in life.
Wow.
And we provide them with the tools. We provide on-site therapists to the kids that work with them throughout the school year. And then we work with educators, principals, and everyone in the school building to make sure that they also have the tools needed as well.
Wow. That all sounds extremely admirable. What possessed you, so to speak, to start iRaise Girls and Boys?
It was God. It was a vision that I received back in 2012. And at the time, I was a newly single mom.
Hmm.
And that was very challenging for me because I didn't imagine myself ever being a single mother. I never pictured that would be my life. But it was. And at the time, I was feeling really down about where I was in life. Was probably going through a little depression myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also was working at another facility. I was working at, for New York State at the time as a state rep. Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask, when you say you spend most of your time working, Is it with IRAs, boys and girls, or as a therapist, or as a...
Yeah, so definitely with IRAs, girls and boys. I don't do the therapy. I get the privilege of designing programs.
Beautiful.
So I've designed over 50 programs for kids in this generation. Our organization is very innovative. We're always strategic planning, looking at new ways of doing things. How do we reach this new generation, which happens to be Alpha and Gen Z? Mm-hmm. We can't use the same methods that we've used in the past, which tends to be our go-to, right?
Yeah.
So we're consistently looking for innovative ways to reach today's generation based on our world today. So that would be a lot of why my time is spent strategic planning.
Is there an anecdote or story of anybody that isn't, of course, private that you could share with us to color the arc of what you do with these kids?
You mean like maybe one of the kids that
yeah,
we've worked with?
Right.
Oh my God, we've worked with over 20,000 children over the years, and I'm thinking about a kid I may have worked with personally. So there is a child that she probably doesn't mind me shouting her out. Her name is Lexi. She actually graduated with her degree in criminal justice from John Jay, but when she started with us, she was in middle school.
Wow.
And she was just hanging out in the streets with her friends. And at the time, we were very new, so we were very grassroots, boots on the ground.
Wow.
And I personally went up to her and said, hey, what are you doing today? And she's like, I'm hanging out with my friends. I was like, okay, well, since you're probably not doing anything productive, why don't you come into the community center and learn about self-esteem or self-identity? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, just try it, see if you like it. She stayed with us from that moment. She grew up in the program. She started as learning mentoring, so she was a mentee of the program.
Mm-hmm.
She then joined our dance program. She then became a dance instructor. Then became employed by the organization, and now she's a college graduate. So.
Wow.
That's one of the stories. We have tons of kids that have gone through, for example, our entrepreneur course, which teaches kids how to build successful companies.
Wow.
Every single one of the kids that have gone through that course are successful business owners today. So we get results. We're very big with building a village, and that's the kind of stories that we see every day. They're commonplace in our organization.
Beautiful. And you mentioned community center,
yes.
Which, as you know, we have one here upstairs.
Yes.
How would you compare or tell me a little bit more about this community center? What was it like, so we can learn and maybe align with you on that?
Yeah. So community centers in New York City, I think they were a little different. I love what you all are doing, the model you have here, because you're bringing organizations together in one space and you're building a village. I think the community center style that we've been traditionally used to in the past has been community centers that are sort of operating by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the best model, because when kids show up, they need to see a village behind supporting or standing by their side. So that's why I love the work that you guys are doing. When Sean Smith told me about the village that you're building out here, I was extremely excited, because this is a model that needs to be replicated all over the place to really support our kids. But the community centers that we've worked in are very traditional. They provide after-school programming, child care, those traditional services. What we've done is we've come into those centers, combined with them, and we've sort of revitalized them.
Gotcha.
So we've looked at where your number is running low, where are kids really struggling, what innovative programs can we pilot to see whether how kids will engage or respond to it.
Right.
And then we roll those programs out in combination or in partnership with community centers. We've done it across New York City and multiple community centers and across the five boroughs. And then we've also done it in schools as well.
And has any of this come to Atlanta yet?
Not yet. Mm-hmm. We are still looking to break ground in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
We do have some great things coming up here. We just had our conference for Black youth in February, Unapologetically Black, where we taught kids what it means to be Black, how to embrace Black pride, power, and privilege, and how to really change the narrative and take control of the narrative of being a Black child. That was successful. We did that in partnership with the YMCA.
Wow.
We ran a few workshops, art and wellness workshops, out in Cobb County. And we'll be launching our entrepreneur boot camp in the summer. So we have some things coming up, but we're still trying to break through the school system out here to bring these programs into Metro Atlanta.
Wonderful. You mentioned earlier that you are a proud mother.
Yeah.
How Did that influence your wanting to do what you do? And I guess, how does it influence you on a daily basis?
She keeps it real for me. So I keep her very close to me. She knows everything that's going on in the organization. She's what we call an I-raise baby. We have I-raise babies. So anyone that has kids, they're part of the family. They're just an I-raise baby. She's that. Because she's been there from the very beginning. So if you can imagine, she was with me running the roads in her car seat at every event, at every concert, at every conference, at every show. At most meetings, she was there. She's grown up in the program. Wow. She's taken many of the courses. It's helped her tremendously. She also has a village of support by being a part of the organization. Right. And sometimes she pitches ideas to me. She just pitched an idea. She's like, we need a media camp. And now we're actually going to do a media workshop next week.
Really?
Yeah. So she's she's Miss Boss Lady. She's something. Yeah. But I think the other part... that we pride ourselves in. Our executive team are all women of color. We're all black women. We're also all black mothers. And that means something, because when we're working with black boys and black girls, we need to know what it feels like to raise those children. And so I'm really big in organizations that really reflect the population that you serve. So if you're working with black kids, your executive team, your leadership team needs to be black. I believe that, because it does matter. Representation matters. The way that programs are designed, the way that they're implemented, the type of care that kids are provided. When you have a black mom there, they're going to look at that child like their kid. So when I see our boys and our girls, I see my daughter, I see my nephews, I see my nieces, I see them. And they see them, when they see me, they see their moms and their aunties. And that's, I think, what matters most to our kids. That's how we're able to see breakthrough and real results.
Beautiful. And you host a podcast, Atlanta Rise.
Yes.
Would you tell us about that?
Yeah. So ATL Rise, it is an initiative under I Raise Girls and Boys. And what we do is we connect with local leaders around Metro Atlanta who's doing great work similar to the areas that we are interested in, whether it's education, youth, social issues, educational issues. And we elevate their voices. We elevate their work in the community. And so we've been, I think we're on our 15th episode. So it's very new. We started it last year, but we've been getting great traction through the podcast, building great connections, such as with Black Push. We're really excited about that. And so that podcast runs every Friday. For those that are interested in hearing the podcast, they can download it on Apple or Spotify or Google, and it can subscribe. But it's a great podcast. It's really short. It's 30 minutes, but we're elevating real issues. We talk about mental health. We talk about depression. We talk about anxiety. We talk about fathering, mothering. We dig really deep. People tell their very personal testimonies and stories. And so it's a really, it's an amazing podcast. People get really vulnerable, and I think that's what people want to hear. They want to hear the realness, the authenticity. Cool. And that's what they hear through ATL Rise.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so how do you see the future of Atlanta Rise? I'm sorry, Atlanta Rise. I Raise Girls and Boys.
I would love to see us in every state. We really want to break ground into Atlanta first. That is my new home, of course. So we have been targeting very specific districts out here, or counties. We're looking at Gwinnett. We're looking at DeKalb. We're looking at Fulton. We're looking at Atlanta. We're looking at Cobb. And what we would love to do is bring our model into these counties, of course, customizing it to what these counties need and rolling it out. So what we see is every child being able to have access to mental wellness, so that they don't have to be at school and feel isolated and depressed and alone and no one sees it and they go home and commit suicide. We want to prevent kids from killing their lives, taking their lives, taking other people's lives. And sometimes it just takes someone that loves you and that cares, a love and trusted adult. We want to bring that into the school system. We want to align with nonprofits and build a village so that kids can really have support, real support, not in talk or in theory, but in real life. Actual tangible tools to have access to be able to thrive. So we want to raise a generation up that can overcome trauma, overcome abuse, overcome gang violence, overcome being incarcerated, and be able to be the best version of themselves in life.
And I've heard you say customize a lot when you talk about your work, which is Which to me sounds like a breath of fresh air. Like,
yes.
It seems like so many times we treat everything with just a broad brush of, oh, mental health. But then you're talking about customizing and treating everyone as their own person.
Yes.
Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah. You're a really great listener. Everything is customized. We built our curriculum from the ground up. We have experts that work on our mental health curriculum, whether it's our counseling groups, whether it's our interventions. Sometimes we're piloting new interventions or new techniques that don't exist yet. And we have a research team as well that works alongside us that we opened up during a pandemic. We have a few research studies that people can download and look on our website. I've spearheaded the research team over the last few years. And so that helps us to really make everything individualized or customized. We believe that every child is different. They learn different. They heal different. Everyone's story and journey is different. So there is no way that you can use a one-size-fits-all approach and apply it to every child. So we see children as different, families as unique, school districts as unique, schools, communities, cities. They're all very different. They have different demographics. The way that they respond to different interventions is very unique to who they are. And so with that, when we come in, the first thing that we do is we listen. We engage the community in listening sessions. We have assessments that we implement in that community or with that child or with that family to learn what works best for you. Not for the person next door, but for you.
Right.
And then based on that, we start to build customized plans for that child, that school, that community, that city.
That listening, I love it. What we need more of.
Yeah.
So is there anything you would like to add that you think we should know?
I think just if anyone's interested in partnering with iRaise, we are very open to partnerships. If there are educators, schools that are interested in our services or nonprofits, we love to connect. Again, we're trying to break ground out into Atlanta. We're out here to serve the community. And we also work with adults. So we run parent counseling programs, family counseling, case management services. We have tons of other services that I may not even be aware of that's available to the community. And so I would say take advantage of it. But we also work with adults. We work with professionals. We work with educators. We work with leaders, nonprofit leaders. We work on city initiatives, policy initiatives. So if there are political things going on, policy things going on, we're also involved in that as well. So we try to be as holistic as possible.
Yes, ma'am. Sounds like.
Because we want to dismantle systemic racism, systemic oppression, and be able to create access for our kids of color to thrive and succeed.
Wonderful. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, is there a way you would like to offer up?
Yeah, my email, s.more, M-O-O-R-E, at iraiseinc.org. Or if they go on the website, www.iraiseinc.org, they can find my information, I think, or maybe not. But staff information will be up there. And then LinkedIn, I'm very responsive.
Okay.
So if anyone messages me on LinkedIn, Shaniqua E. Moore, and every social media platform, I'll respond, especially LinkedIn. I can't promise Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but definitely LinkedIn.
And we'll be sure to put that on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Yeah, no, other than that, thank you. I love the work that you all are doing at Black
Push. Thank you so much.
Congratulations for your grand opening.
Thank you.
Yes,
much appreciated.
I'm really excited about your programs and all the things that are transpiring and happening here.
Thank you.
So
there you have it, folks. We had the pleasure of speaking with Shaniqua Moore from iRaise Girls and Boys International and ATL Rise, the podcast. As we say here at Black Push, the mission is greater than us all, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.